Good morning, friends. When's the last time you have seen one of these? For those of you who are listening to the audio, I'm holding up one of the original iPhones. I believe it is an iPhone 3. We have it taped up with duct tape to allow our kiddos to play with it. And we're going to talk about how grace is like learning to use an iPhone for the very first time. Some of you listeners may remember when smartphones came out. Some of you may not really know a time when smartphones weren't around. And so we're jumping into Ephesians chapter number 2, which is such an amazing chapter. We're going to be talking about uncovering our great salvation. Okay, so we are going to talk about how this iPhone, this original iPhone, it's funny when we're talking about having technical difficulties, that we're actually having technical difficulties. When's the last time you saw one of these? iPhone 3, okay? I remember the first time I saw an iPhone. A friend of mine just bought one. iPhones have only been out since 2010. It's not really that old, only 10 years. And I remember he took one of these, and I hadn't seen one before. I've heard of it. And he took the back end of it, and it looked like a flame on the screen, and he blew into the microphone, and the flame actually changed. And I couldn't believe it. It was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. Have you ever gotten some kind of new gadget you were excited about, but really knew nothing about? You know, the Bible talks a lot about salvation in that kind of a way. It says in Ephesians 2 and verse number 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." And it's beginning to describe our salvation. And it says in verse 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And so we're understanding here that grace connects us to God's world of truth and reality. When we trust Christ as our Savior, we're saved by grace through faith. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But we don't really know what it is that we've been given. And God works inside of us to teach us as we learn His Word and as we respond to His Holy Spirit, He begins to teach us and unlock, uncover, and reveal this incredible salvation that we've been given. He starts in verse number 1, "And you hath he quickened." We're just going to go over this one today. "You hath he quickened." Quickened means made alive or resurrected. Why would we need to be resurrected? Well, we know that it's not a bodily resurrection we're looking at in this passage. Okay, he does not go around at this moment resurrecting the dead from funerals and from graves. It says, "You hath he quickened who were dead," not physically dead in this sense, but dead in trespasses and sins. Why was our spiritual state described as being dead? It's because of our fallen condition. Depravity. We believe in the total depravity of man. It doesn't mean that we are all living before we were saved in the worst possible manner, where we're in the human sense looking at someone as if, you know, they're totally depraved, or in a psychological sense where I really don't know how to help this person. They have the most terrible lusts and desires, and they've gone out and they've tried to do that. They're killing people, they're raping, they're doing all these things. We don't think of ourselves generally in that sense. The way the Bible talks about when we're dead in trespasses and sins and the total depravity of mankind, is that we are completely unable to connect to God, to save ourselves, to cleanse ourselves, to find forgiveness. We are completely incapable, as much as a dead body is incapable of walking and talking and reasoning, carrying on a conversation. That's what it's talking about. You hath he quickened. How does this spiritual life and ability to connect to God, how does that come about? Well, those verses we read in verses 8 and 9 comes about by grace. What is grace? Grace is God working in my heart as he's working in the circumstances of our life. And as the circumstances in our life prompt us to search and look, we then connect to God's word. And God's word uses a mixture. God's grace uses a mixture of his word and the circumstances to help us connect to God and connect to spiritual reality. We naturally sense God as unbelievers in our natural state. We naturally sense God, but we don't naturally connect to him. There is a disconnect. It's like holding the old iPhone in your hand. You guys are, I'm 38 years old, so I remember this very distinctly. Carrying around the old Nokia phones that were not flip phones, that they were around at that time too. But I remember this old Nokia that I carried around, and it looked like a miniature cordless phone that you would use in your house, as if anybody has landlines anymore. And I remember carrying it around in my carpenter pant, and it fit perfectly in that little pocket in my carpenter pant when I went to work. Then the flip phone, I had a flip phone, the Motorola Razr, when that came out, the original, oh my goodness, it was amazing. You flipped it open, right? And it still operated like a regular phone. It had the keypad and the buttons. And then along came these smartphones, and it had this one little button, and you're like, how do I open it up? Where is the keypad? And even something that simple, somebody had to explain to you. And a friend would say, well, this is how you text, and this is how you can do this, and this is how you eventually connect to the internet, and this is how you can get music on your phone. I mean, it was just the most amazing thing. So in salvation, in connecting to God before we're saved, we don't get it. We're clueless. We try. The Bible has a story. Jesus was speaking to a woman, Samaritan woman, in John chapter 4, a very famous story. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. She's describing to him all of the rituals and religion and the holy places of her tradition, of her people. And Jesus is explaining to her, that may be all well and good, but you're not connecting to God. You're not forgiven. And he says in verse 22, ye worship ye know not what. I mean, he tells her straight, aren't you glad that somebody loves us enough to just tell us the truth? And he just tells us the truth. He speaks the truth in love, Jesus does. Jesus said, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And God did use the Jewish people to pass down the scriptures and the types and the shadows of the tabernacle, the prophecies. And he says in verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father meaning God the Father. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God's grace seeks after us. God's grace seeks after us. When we're seeking God, and we're looking for him, that is actually a response to God seeking us. And don't think for a moment that there isn't anyone, or that there's only a select group that are sought of God, or that there's only several or some or a small. No, God seeks after every one of us. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, verse 24, John 4, 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The Samaritan woman at the well illustrates that God loves everyone. Most Jewish men during that particular time would not talk to a Samaritan. They were very racist towards them, much less a Samaritan woman. This would have been a cultural scandal. But Jesus did not care. He loved this woman's soul. He was teaching her how to connect to God. This is one illustration that Christianity is not just for certain races or certain peoples. It is for everyone. And Jesus illustrated this by crossing the threshold of cultural scandal and cultural faux pas in order to give the gospel out to those outside of his own race or outside of his own circle. In order for grace to work, it must be responded to. We respond by faith. Grace is God actually working inside you, not to believe as you want or according to your comfort, but to believe the truth he is revealing to you. Do you have a senior saint or a senior citizen in your life who absolutely refuses to get a smartphone? That's fine. If that's your choice, more power to you. I commend your grit. But sometimes people can be that way towards connecting to God and even getting saved, becoming a Christian. They want to do what they want to do. They're not willing to change. They're not willing to look upon what they have been taught with any sense of doubt, with any sense of question, with any sense of comparison to biblical truth. If someone is trying to teach you the differences between an old flip phone or a house phone and a smartphone, and you won't do what they're teaching you to do, it will stay frustrating and you will give up. And there are many people who are like that when it comes to seeking a connection with God. God is not to blame for a lack of connection. God is trying to connect with each one of us. God connects to us through his truth in his word. God connects to us through his Holy Spirit in our hearts. God connects to us through prompting us to take steps of belief and trust. He shows us a truth and we believe it and then we trust him. These steps of belief and trust, this is what is called faith. This is what is called faith. It's not any different than somebody taking an old iPhone and teaching someone and saying, okay, this is how you open it up. Of course, in the original, all you did was swipe, right? You pushed a little button and then you swipe and it popped open. And then you push the little icon for the phone and you start dialing the phone. And then you hand it over to them and say, okay, now you do it. And then they would simply follow what you told them to do. It's not any different than taking a step of faith. We take the instructions from God's word. God himself is working in our heart and saying, this is the truth. I am God. I am speaking to you. And he's prompting us to take that step. It could be prayer. It could be attending church. It could be listening online. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Have you believed on Christ? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? As you hear this truth, the Holy Spirit is working in your heart, prompting you to take that step of faith and trust. I believe that. I'm going to reach out I'm going to turn from my own good deeds in order to qualify myself for forgiveness and to qualify myself for salvation. I'm going to turn away from that, and out of a heart completely reaching out to Christ, I'm going to trust that what he did on the cross is payment enough for any bad deeds that I've done and any bad deeds that I will do. In 1 John chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2, Jesus is described as the propitiation for our sin. Propitiation means the appeasement or the satisfactory payment. And Christ's death on the cross completely appeased God. It satisfied his justice for the sins of the whole world. And we are simply placing our faith in God's assessment of Christ's sacrifice. Guys, thanks so much for listening today. Grace is simply following the prompts. God has quickened us. He's made us alive unto himself. And let's together, let's learn and discover all that God has for us in his salvation. Have a wonderful day.